I remember when I was a senior in high school, it was like the last week, and nobody invited me to the senior breakfast. So I went to school, and it was a bomb threat, and I had to stay like in the football field for like 3 hours while everybody else was eating breakfast. So mad. Still bitter. Still bitter. I need to write a letter about that one. I'm bitter about that one. Could have been having breakfast. Hash browns. Ooh, Lord, don't get me started. Hey, man. It's a good Wednesday to be alive, people. Let's go ahead and do this. Let's get ourselves ready. Oh, look at this. You guys are all, they make you get up. Oh, look at that. That's because I told him to do that. But I'm going to blame it on Sal. Look at Sal's fault. It's all Sal's fault. Boo. Boo. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Wow, there's a lot of you guys here all up in this, squeezed in there. Oh, see, you can rub elbows like your family, like your family. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Don't you love our youth workers? Don't you love them? Oh, I guess not. All right, never mind. Let's pray. Quick, let's pray. We've got to recover. Okay. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll jump into the Word today because, hey, that's why you came, right? That's one of the reasons you came today, was to get in the Word, get encouraged. Right? Right? Oh, all right. I get it. You guys are focused today. You guys are focused. We'll get it started, don't worry. I'll turn up the volume in a minute. Don't worry. So let's pray. Father, we thank you today for this good, for the good news. God, we thank you for the gospel. God, we thank you for you. Lord, we thank you that today that there is no one like you. And God, no matter what this week has presented us, God, we thank you that, Lord, your truth stands firm. God, that whatever you said, Lord, is how things are going to turn out, God. And Lord, we can rest assured that, Lord, whatever point our life has come to at this place, it's still the middle of the story. And God, you have great things set before us. So Lord, help us to understand what to do with right now. God, help us to understand what this book says about us and what it says about you. God, that it be more than paper, that it be more than ink, but Lord, it will be life to us, that it would change us from the inside to the outside, and God, that it would cause us, Lord God, to be stirred up to live a life that looks a lot like Jesus Christ, that we won't just be people that come into a building and sit down, but Father, we'll be people that are moved for the very innermost part of who we are to live a life that honors you, that blesses others, and that changes the situations around us. So Father, today, we're checking in and saying we need you to speak to us as only you can. So, Father, thank you. We give you our time. We give you our attention. We give you all that we have right now. In Jesus' name, God, we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right. Already looking good. Today, we got to talk. Today, we're going to talk about a little word called faith. That's right. As a matter of fact, I guess if you're taking notes, because I know you are, this is what I want to talk to you guys about today about is missing out. Oh, that's sad. I hate missing out. I want to talk to you guys about what happens when we live in a life full of unbelief, because it's a really easy thing to do. Like, doubt is such a big deal. You know, people got questions. People today, well, what about this and what about that? And, you know, it's really easy to get your faith, your trust in God chipped away. But, you know, the alternative to that is a terrible way to live, you know? I mean, the opposite of faith is fear. And people live in fear all the time. Matter of fact, it happens sometimes. It's a well-known fact. I don't know if you guys know this, but it's a well-known fact about people who study other people, about the way they act. Let me set the stage. And tell me if this has ever happened to you. There you are at home, alone, considering whether you should do your homework or not. So what do? You get on your phone, right? So, you know, you're on your phone, hop on a laptop, open up the tablet, the phablet, the whatever else it is, got that, you know, got there. And you know, you hit one of those little squares. Bam! There you are, Instagram. Look at everybody. You know what I'm saying? You just do your thing, double tapping, switching around. And there you are, all alone. You're in your pajamas. You got Cheeto crumbs on your chest, and all of a sudden you look at all these people having fun. Oh, look, there they are. They're at the skating rink. Oh, look, there they are. They're with the girlfriend and the boo and all the. Oh, look, he's playing with a new puppy. When did he get a new puppy? I didn't know that. And all of a sudden, all these people are having a good time doing the thing, and you begin to get sad. You begin to get sad because there you are, and you got homework to do, and you're you're just there on this dumb phone. So what do? You try you try to make yourself feel good. Maybe you'll do this. Maybe you take a picture of yourself, try to make it look all good. You try to flex your abs, get the shadows just right there. You make sure you gotta get the Windex, clean off the mirror, and you're like, ooh, like that. You're like, oh yeah, I'm looking. You're like, just got done doing my reps. Yeah, baby, get that CrossFit going on. But you're just lying. And all of a sudden you just post it right there. And you know what happens? Ain't nobody like it. Nobody liked it. So what are you doing? Like, oh man, this sucks, man. Then you get up on it, whatever. You get on the Twitter. Just home alone, somebody snapped me, and all of a sudden you're just looking for it. And then you start posting TBH for likes, or likes more likes, or whatever. You're like, please, somebody notice me now. It's a sad thing. It never happened to you? It never happens to me. Ever. Now, I wish I had what they're eating. No, people are terrible at taking pictures of their food. It always looks gross. Like, the more shiny it is, bad idea. Don't only take pictures of dry food. It sounds funny, but there really is this thing that happens to us sometimes. And whether it happens on social media or whether it just happens in real life or real life where people actually look at each other, there's this phenomena called FOMO. That's right.
FOMO.
Have you heard of FOMO? Say it with me. It's kind of fun. FOMO. Now say it with me, I said. FOMO! Thank you. As Mark would say it with your chest. Right?
FOMO.
Anyway, you don't got to say it that time. Don't say it that time. I'm running out of time here. But FOMO, it's the fear of FOMO, FOBO, fear of being left out. Anyway, that's what it is. I don't care what it is. I don't care. That's what I saw in the paper. So, but there's this thing, the fear of being left out. There's the fear of being excluded. And you see everybody else, because on the internet, nobody's telling the truth anyway. That's really just a 13-year-old girl. That's not really that track star dude. He's just lying. And we see things on the internet. We see the way people portray their life. We see the pictures they post. We see the things on the magazine and the TVs. And none of it's real. And all of a sudden we begin to judge ourselves against these things. And we feel like we're missing out. We feel like we're missing. It's the fear of missing out. FOMO, fear of missing out. That's what it is. Right here it says so. And the truth is this, is that we can have this tendency to feel like our life doesn't measure up or match up because of what is happening some other place. There's even this website. It's terrible. It's called. Go put it up there. It's called Things Nobody Like. It's this collection. Yeah, that's a pickle from Disneyland. Show me another one, Disney pickle. It's a girl posted a picture of her hand. Yeah, I know. And oh, look at this one. I love you. I don't know which one's saying it, the deer or the girl. But it's this website of collections of all the pictures on Instagram that nobody has liked. Every picture on there has no likes. No likes. Nobody showed no double tap love on it, ever. I don't know why nobody's double tapping that. I mean, really, look at that dude. Nobody, I can't believe somebody sees a goal on it just for the love of God, please, somebody. No, don't tap it because then he might post more. And it's terrible. And, the difference, though, is that a lot of times this fear, it's fake. We're not really missing out on anything. Because oftentimes the things people portray on the internet is not always the truth. But there are times in life where if you are led by fear, you miss out on the best life has to offer. Fear, and get a hold of this, fear constricts you. Fear makes you freeze. Fear stops you from going forward, right? I mean, that's why that's what happens. You freeze up with fear. I mean, if they're in the middle of a sports game or football or a race, if they choke, what happens? They freeze. They don't perform to their best. Why? Because they got scared. They had this fear of failure, of looking stupid, of making the wrong decision. So they choke and they freeze up. And that's what happens. Now, faith, on the other hand, faith is the opposite of fear. See, faith frees people where fear captures and holds people down. And see, that's why The Bible tells us that the just live by faith. People that live for God are people that live by faith, people that live by trusting what God says. When you trust God, it pushes you forward. When you're afraid of failing, it holds you back. There's this verse in Mark, and it's bizarre because the things that happened before it and the things that happened after it just make the middle part make no sense. Let me show you what I mean. In Mark the sixth chapter, right before Mark the sixth chapter, Mark 5 and Mark the verses before it, Jesus is going around. He's healing people. I mean, it's a part of the Bible where Jesus is going through the crowd, and this guy's like, "Jesus, my daughter is sick and she's dead, and she doesn't look like she's gonna make it, and I need you to help, Jesus." And Jesus is like, "Well, heck yeah, let's get this thing done, man." So he's walking through, and there's this lady, and she's had this issue in her body. She's had an illness for 12 years, and she sneaks in, she grabs Jesus' clothes, and all of a sudden she gets healed, and the whole crowd stops, and Jesus begins to talk about it, and all the doctors, the Bible says, all the doctors couldn't help her. There was no medicine to fix her problems, but one encounter with Jesus heals her like that. And all of a sudden the word comes, and the daughter dies, and Jesus says, we're gonna get this thing done. So they walk through the crowd, and they go there, and these people are up there, and they're looking at this dead little girl, and Jesus is like, "Look, everything's gonna be okay." And people start laughing at him, and he Jesus does, he gets gangster, he kicks everybody out, "Get to stepping," except the parents and his three best friends. Prays for the girl. It says these crazy words, "Talitha kumi," or whatever it is. That's just like some other language. It means, hey, it's Hebrew for, "Hey, get up." He says, this little girl that passed away, "Hey, get up." So she gets up. Boop. She gets up. And she gets up, and Jesus basically says, "Okay, hey, man, get her some food, man. She's got places to go, things to do." So you see these stories of Jesus doing the miraculous. And that makes sense, right? Because he's God. Like, God can do whatever he wants, right? Because he's God. God rolls into town, and if he wants to order off the menu, he can order off the menu. Get whatever he wants. And then this next story comes up in Mark, the sixth chapter, and Jesus rolls into his hometown. Comes to his hometown. Let me get there. It's really strange because there's his family. Like, these are the people that know him best. His next door neighbors, the people, probably the kids down the street that he used to play with. And you think if anybody, man, knew that Jesus could make things happen, you think it'd be these people. And all of a sudden he went to his own country. The disciples were there with him. It was there on the Sabbath. He's there in church talking. And all of a sudden people begin to judge him. They instead of thinking, "Man, I can't believe it's Jesus." They're like, "Hey, this is the kid we used to play tag with. Psh, he couldn't even run." They begin to say, his family begin to say, "Look, Jesus, mom always liked you best. So just why you got to be here? You're trying to show off again." You know what I'm saying? You ever had like that brother or sister could do everything right and you did everything wrong? Imagine having Jesus as an older brother. It's like, why can't you walk on water like your brother? "I don't know, Mom, because I'm not God." So in Mark the sixth chapter, it says that they were offended at Jesus. So what happens is in verse 4, Mark 6, 4, Jesus says and turns to his disciples, his best of friends, and says, "Look, a prophet is not without honor." He gets honor everywhere because, hey, a prophet does great things, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and even in his own house. Verse 5 is crazy because here you have Jesus raising people from the dead, healing sicknesses that the doctors could not cure. And it says now in verse 5, now he, Jesus, could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And then maybe even the most strangest part of it all is Jesus was surprised. He marveled because of their unbelief. So what did he do? He left. Gosh, that's a sad verse. It says, then he went to the other villages in a circuit teaching. And there, if you look in the next chapter or two,
Jesus goes out, and then he tells the disciples, okay, now it's your guys' turn to go out. And he sends the 12 disciples out, and they go out praying, and people are healed, and they're doing, like, kicking demons out of people. And they're doing all these crazy people. They're praying for the sick, and they're encouraging people, and God's answering their prayers. And Jesus tells the disciples to do this. And then they get back, tell Jesus all these crazy things that were going on. Like, you wouldn't believe this, Jesus. Jesus is like, I know I do believe it. That's what I told you to do. And then all of a sudden, they pack up, and they go out, and Jesus begins to preach and teach, and then he does the miracle of the with the 5,000 people, the fish and the loaves. He feeds 5,000 with leftovers and multiplies the food. And look, Jesus is back in action, making the impossible happen. So what about chapter 6? Where does that come from, right? You got Jesus raising people from the dead. Then you got Jesus can't do nothing. And then Jesus is back in action, feeding people with table scraps. Miraculously feeding thousands of people. How does that happen? Man, didn't these people miss out? I mean, you want to talk about missing out. Jesus rolls into town and you miss it. Man, I'm cancel my appointments, man. Finals, I don't care. I'm going to go see Jesus. And these people missed out on speaking face to face with God, all because of this word called faith. Look, no faith, no results. That's the way it works. Faith is the gas that moves the car, man. And without it, you're not going anywhere. Look, God, the level of faith, if you don't know what faith is, faith, all faith means is trust. That's all faith is trust. If you have faith in somebody, you trust them. You trust they're going to do what they say. You trust they're going to be there. They got your back. You know, if you have an issue, they're going to help you through the issue. That's what faith is. Faith is having trust that somebody's going to do what they say they're going to do. And these people had no faith in Jesus. They had no faith in God because they didn't honor him. They didn't respect him. They didn't see him for who he was. And all they saw him as some punk coming into town trying to show off again. And Jesus could do nothing for them. That blows my mind because he's God. Can't God do whatever he wants? I guess apparently not. Does that mean God's not all-powerful? Well, no, because he could do it. Kind of hard to force somebody to get healed, though, right? That's kind of weird. Like, come on, just give me your arm. I'm going to break it again if you don't let me heal it. No, here's what I'm getting at, is that your faith either gives God access or it denies God access into your life. Faith is an open door for God to walk in. Fear and unbelief is a closed door that God will pass up. So what about you? You got faith or you got unbelief? Trust or lack of trust? Have you even tried to give God a chance? Have you even cracked the door of your heart open? Say, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you with this and see how you do. Look, I'm going to tell you this. A person with faith sees results in their life. Sometimes it may not be what they expect. Sometimes they may have to wait for it. But God always answers. God always answers. God always answers faith. But unbelief already has its answer. And it's no. Every time. Unbelief misses out on everything God has. See, you're never going to get from God what you don't believe him for. Right? Let me put it this way. It's better to get half of what you believe for than none, or excuse me, all of what you don't believe for. Right? 100% of nothing is worse than 50% of something. Right? That's got to be in math somewhere. See, sometimes we're worried. We say, you know what, God? I don't know. If I pray for this, what if it doesn't happen? So what? Right? So what if it doesn't happen? It's not my job to make it happen. It's just my job to believe God for it. Right? Look, I can't tell you how many people I've prayed for. And I can't tell you how many people that I haven't seen it happen yet. But is that going to make me stop praying because I didn't see God answer my prayer the first time? Heck no, man. Some prayers just take longer to do. For some reason that God's smarter than me, he knows why. And sometimes, Look, hey, sometimes it's just not the right prayer to pray. But I'm still going to pray it because my job is to pray and God's job is to answer. And the minute we get that twisted, then, you know, you're in trouble. It's not my job to answer my own prayers. It's my job to pray it and believe God to do it. I can't heal anybody, but I can pray for somebody to get healed. I can't get anybody saved. I can't change anybody's life, but I can pray for God to do it. And it's God's job to answer my prayers. I'll just keep the door open for him to come in whatever he wants. Because if I leave the door open long enough, he will. When he's ready, when the time is right. But if I leave my door closed, he's never, ever, ever coming in. Not in a million years. Because God responds to faith. Trust in him. Does that make sense? There's this, you don't got to turn there, but there's this story Jesus tells about this little old lady. And this little old lady's bugging. I mean, she is the most annoying old lady in the Bible. The Bible uses this nice word, persistent. Yeah, that's Bible talk for annoying. See, this old lady, she needed something from this mean old judge. And this mean old judge was twisted, he was crooked, and she's bugging him at the middle of the night. And this mean old judge says, you know what, lady? I just want you to leave, so I'll give you whatever you want. I don't even care anymore. Just let me sleep. And that crazy annoying lady got exactly what she wanted because she wouldn't let go until she got it, even from a bad guy. Look, you know, I know God's not a bad guy. So how much more would God give to us when he wants to give us things if we'll just trust him and believe him? See, don't miss out. Don't miss out. Truth is, maybe one day somebody will like that man's picture. Even though he looks a little creepy. I might just go on there tonight on that website and I might just double tap his picture just to let him know somebody cares. And I'll never go on it again. But it's up there. And one day, someday, somebody maybe will like it. I believe it. If they posted it, somebody can like it. But if you never post it, they never can. That's deep. That's real deep.
So today, you got to do that. You got to cultivate your faith. You gotta work it. And you gotta believe God for the impossible because God makes the impossible possible. And if you don't believe it, then God can't answer it. So why not give it a chance? Why not give it a shot? Because it falls in God's will. And if you do it, look, I'd say it all the time. There are specific prayers that I know it took 13 years for God to answer it. So why not wait and believe God for his best? And then you've got to eliminate the things that would steal faith from your life. The things that rob your joy, the things that make you question God, the things that make you get into fear. Because it's one thing to have questions, but it's another thing to be driven away from God by nagging doubts. When Jesus knew that little girl was dead, he got rid of all the people that wouldn't believe him. And he kept only the people close to him that would. Mom, dad, and his three best friends. Peter, James, and John, he kept them there with him because he knew they would believe. They'd feed his faith. They had faith to give. But all those other punks that made fun of him got him out. And that little girl rose because there was faith. There was an open door. Now, I'm not going to say, you know, love is an open door, nothing like that. But the bottom line. So, you, me, I mean, especially for all my people in this place that are fasting this month. Oh, Lord, help us all. You need to start exercising your faith muscle. You need to start pushing yourself and cultivating that faith. You need to start asking God, God, what can we do? God, what do I need to believe for my family? What do I need to believe for myself? God, what do I need to believe for my school? God, what do I need to trust you for in my neighborhood? Because my neighborhood's pretty jacked up. What do I need to trust you for my future? Because I'm really unsure. God, what do I need to trust you for this church, my church, the Rock Youth? What do I need to believe, God, that you're going to do in this room, in this building, so we can go out there and change the world? What do we need to believe you for now, God? Because, God, I want to grow my faith. I want to believe you like I never believed you before. And, God, the part parts where I'm hurt and the parts where I don't know and the parts where I have questions, the part I'm waiting for you to answer them. God, help me to trust you to keep the door open so when the time is right, you can walk in and answer it. So don't miss out. Don't shut the door. Don't miss out. Don't be afraid, but instead be free to believe God for even the impossible. That's all it takes. FOMO, the fear of missing out. FOMO, don't do it. Don't play that game. It's not worth it. Man, the people, they didn't believe God. They got God's least. But the people that did got God's best. Which do you want to be? If you guys got anything I got to, let's give him praise.